Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of
welcome, friends, to another broadcast of Morsels for Zion's Poor.
We have no doubt as to the existence of hell, nor to its eternal nature, nor the fear and torment that are associated with it. It is not a welcome place, nor is it a place where the living would have any desire to be. We do wish to make a distinction, however, between hell and the lake of fire, which John mentions in the book of the Revelation. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The concept that many have of hell is solely described as this lake of fire. We do not claim to have unequivocal answers to many questions which arise in the study of such an august and frankly terrifying subject. Yet we feel compelled to go to the scriptures alone to discover what little knowledge we might possess on the matter at hand. There is only one Hebrew word which is translated into English as hell, 31 times in the Old Testament. That word is Sheol, and is literally defined as a grave, a pit, or the place of the dead. There are basically two Greek words which are translated into English as hell in the King James Version New Testament. One is Hades, which literally means the abode or place of the dead, and is most analogous to the Hebrew word Sheol in its use. Another is Gehenna, and it is often associated with fire. This word derives its usage from the Valley of Hinnom, which is generally thought to be the place where refuse was burned outside of Jerusalem. When John describes the lake of fire into which death and hell are cast, he uses none of these words. Hell and the lake of fire cannot be said to be synonymous unless one is willing to turn a blind eye to the fact that the lake of fire is the place of destruction for both death and hell. We would never deny that there is a lake of fire which is prepared for the destruction of the beast, the false prophet, death, hell, Satan, and all whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Any man who does not tremble at such a prospect has never learned the fear of him who is a consuming fire. So when we read the words of the psalmist as he says, "Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell," we understand that he has no reference to a place of burning, gnashing of teeth, nor everlasting torment, but rather the finality of the grave. The very first lie that Satan, the father of lies, told to Eve is when he said, "Ye shall not surely die." He was wrong. Dead wrong. The Lord commanded Adam not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and prophetically told him what would occur in the day that he ate of it. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. There were no ifs involved in his decree, nor was any probationary period set forth. Adam demonstrated what he was by nature, and embraced his own free will, which resulted in his death. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All of Adam's posterity have followed their father's footsteps, according to their nature, which they have inherited from him. Not only are they sinners by choice and action, but they are born into this world with the same sentence of death hanging over their heads. Since Adam's sin was imputed to them in the same fashion in which the righteousness of Christ is imputed to his seed. Believing that the Psalms are by and large the utterances of the Lord Jesus, as he prayed when he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. We rejoice to see him call upon his Father, seeking deliverance for our sake. He came into the world surrounded by this promise, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." Yet in order to fulfill all righteousness and to be manifested as that one who is able to take away sin, it was necessary that he tread the winepress of God's wrath alone, with no one to aid him, nor any eye to pity him. If any man has ever been fully acquainted with the import and horror of death, it was Jesus Christ, as he poured out his soul unto death, and was heard in that he feared. His deliverance from the lowest hell, which is the utter finality of death, was absolutely necessary to the resurrection of those whom he came to save. Thus, upon the third day, he broke the shackles of death, which had long bound every human being which sprang from the loins of Adam. He arose as a victor over sin, death, and hell, that is, the grave or abode of the dead, and became the firstfruits of them that sleep, that is, are present in a state of natural death. His resurrection is the grounds upon which the hope of the sons of God rests. We expect to be delivered yet from the lowest hell, since he has triumphed over it.
For a free CD containing 15 of these radio broadcasts, send an email to forthepoor@windstream.net.